Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes, known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area, or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Now, if I can, let's look at voluntary or purposely taking the no food. That's in Daniel 9, and you can see there. Now, you know, there's times, and I think this is one of the times that I was talking about earlier, that we're going to come to time when you're going to fast because there isn't any food, okay? In Daniel 9:3, look at what that's saying there. 9:3, Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and suit and sackcloth and ashes. Okay? Now, he said, I pray to the Lord that may my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, the key is keeping his commandments, all right? You know, last night I got into over in the 11th verse of that chapter, and I told you there that bless God, you have to understand that we have poured the curse out upon ourselves. The devil's not poured this curse out. I don't know that the church is ever going to come to grips with this thing or not, but the fact of it is, the devil's not, this isn't the devil's work, this is our own work. We poured the curse upon us. Now, to further this, you come to a place where people become too grieved and have no desire to eat. That's a type of fasting. That's talked about in Daniel 6:18. In Matthew, there's where I wanted to go. I'm sorry. That 9 is where it was prayer and supplication with fasting. Okay. Again, prayer was put into that. He was bringing himself to that place where he wanted to make sure. Back in those days, it was sackcloth and ashes, and everybody knew that you fasted. If you saw somebody in sackcloth and ashes, you go, "Oh, something's going on. Something's going on." The key was probably getting to the place where you just kept your mouth shut about what was going on and just go on about it, which I think, again, it's a flesh thing. As you grow up, you get over those things. I like very, very much what the situation we got here. Most of you people are definitely rooted and grounded in the Word. And if you wouldn't, prophets really don't have any business around novice. And we really don't. And I'm sorry, because we just... It's hard to come to, it's hard, it's real difficult to feed an anointing on that level. It's very, very difficult to do that, because there's so much to be said and there's so little time to seemingly to be said about it. That's the reason I keep saying the novice need to get into some good churches and learn something. Need to get into some good word churches. Learn something. After you've learned it, then come sit at the prophet's feet and we'll teach you. We'll take you on to those steps and those places. Now, in Matthew 15:32, I think that's what I'm really looking for here, all right? I have compassion. Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the wait. Now, see, again, there was no food available. So if they had left, they'd have had to be left fasting. So you can say, being without food, you're fasting. Yeah, pretty well so. I think one of the things that you got to be sure that you're careful about, and this comes from an old Pentecostal belief, all right? You have to understand the one thing that fasting is not. It is not a tool to force the hand of God to do what you want done. How many times have you heard people say, well, I need my old drunken husband to come to the Lord, and I'm going to fast until God bring him in. You may go to heaven fasting and God not bring him in. Fasting is not to be dictating to God. Let me give you some scripture here so we can... Isaiah, let's see, is that where I want to go? Let me make sure here. Zechariah 5. Zechariah 5. You want to be real, real certain when this is all coming down that you, again, there's proper ways. You know, when you get talking about these things, you've got to make sure that everybody, again, tries to be on the same page and everybody understands what's going on. Speaking to all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fast and mourned in the 5th and 7th month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even unto me? In other words, he's questioning, why did you fast? Why were you doing this? Was it for yourself? See, I think the first thing you have to examine about yourself when you decide that you're going to get into fasting, you have to examine the motives. Why am I doing this? Now, I hope I've set the precedent for those motives. You fast in order to move into the supernatural realm and become sensitive and more sensitive to God, and listen closely to me, for those of you that listen for that small, still voice, that it becomes clearer. That's the reason that you fast. You have got to get to a point where you See, the whole key with God is trying to find a means that He can communicate with each of us that we can understand from Him that it is He that is communicating to us. Now, I spent quite a bit of time this weekend talking about familiar spirits and how familiar spirits can come and do come and try to, bless God, do what? Try to get you going another direction, and you think you've heard the voice of God. Well, you know, it's very, very scriptural to understand that an angel of darkness can come as an angel of light. Samuel did not know the voice of God the first time he heard it. It is something to be learned. And somehow, you know, somehow we get the crossover in this thing has amazed, amused me for lots of years after I had been taught by God about it, because I began to realize the biggest culprit that we have in this thing is me, myself, and I, in my case. It's you and yourself in your case. That we're vulnerable to this thing because we've never properly been taught. Now, as I have given you access to me, you can eliminate some of this stuff. And you can eliminate it very easily by picking up the phone, sitting down to the computer, and emailing me and saying, here's what I think's going on, what says the prophet? And the prophet's going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. And again, learn to read between the lines. If I start saying, however, if I were you, I would be careful, you better then get down to business, because probably what I'm saying to you is, I think you're wrong, but I'm not going to come right out and tell you wrong. Why? Because the thing that I'm not going to do, again, is become your God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not your God. I wouldn't even make a good God. You wouldn't even want me for God, okay? You may not even want me for a prophet after a while. It all starts out fine and dandy. I said, well, God, I don't understand why we're wrong. I said, well, why are we wrong? I said, they loved me last week. Now they're calling me the devil. Well, the flesh is a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing. And we're all will be in heaven one day saying, boy, I wish I hadn't said some of the things I said. You hear what I said? We all will be in heaven one day. I wish I hadn't said the things that I said. I wish I hadn't done some of the things I did. Why? Because the guy that I said did is sitting right there. He lives right there in the mansion next door. Isn't that going to be a deal? You ever think about that? I do every once in a while. What if he's got the mansion next door? Oh, man, I don't go out and cut the grass, baby, till that guy goes inside. Think about it, okay? Think about it. Say, God loves me. He sure does. Hey, in the midst of all this, He still loves us, doesn't He? Thank God that He does. So then let's go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and let's look there. I think it's so interesting when you begin to realize, and again, the motives, and when you begin to look at these motives or examine your own motives, that's when you're going to discover what this is all about. See, again, don't ever start fasting trying to force God's hand. You're fasting to be able to have understanding. You're fasting for knowledge. You're fasting for the wisdom that you've asked God for. And God will then be able to guide you. If you've already preset, and usually people do, well, Lord, I've anointed my face, ahead, I've washed my face, and now I want to proclaim a fast. And in that fast, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get old Uncle Joey down there that's a drunkard, and I want him saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost and come to church every Sunday morning. That's what this fast is about, and I'm going to fast 1 day, 2 hours, and 38 seconds for that to happen, Lord. Amen. That's ridiculous, but that's really about how most of it goes. We need to understand that God desperately wants to guide. He desperately needs to guide us. And like I said, fasting is good for your body, okay? But it is better for you and your spirit, man. It is better for you to get in tune with your spirit and the Spirit of God. And when you get into that combination, you'll find something out. You get 30 days into a fast, and that last 10 days, you'll be in the Spirit more than you're out of the Spirit. When I get to that point, I don't drive. No one dares to ride with me if I was to drive. You can't talk to me because I'm just sitting there going. You get to the point where you're moving over in, listen to me, to the spirit world. the world. You know what causes people like me to want to go that depth of all this? That's as close to going over into it as most of us can ever get before you give up the ghost. But you can get there. You can get there. You can get there. But you can't get there by sitting around, bless God, playing games with God. You have to do it with your heart right before God, saying, Lord God, it's just me and you. Teach me, show me. What are the things that I'm missing? What is it that I should have been doing that I'm not doing? Those are the hearts that God just, oh, come on. Because He'll be able to show us. He'll be able to bring us into some correction. He'll be able to guide us and give us a direction where we're going. Somebody, you know, not too long ago, a brother called me and he said, you know, Brother Decker, he said, I've known you for a long time. And he said, I know you're not going to give me the answer to this, but he said, you know, I just got a brand new job and everything's going well. He said, I've got a fine Messianic synagogue I'm going to that's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm just really enjoying myself. And he said, now I got a chance to bless God, to have myself a better job and to move to the other end of the country and bless God. And there's no synagogue there that's spirit-filled, and there's none of this there that's spirit-filled. And he said, I just want you to be praying that I know what to do. I said, you already know what to do. You already know what to do. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. You know, my grandfather, and coming up in a Jewish family, my grandfather always said something to me very important. He said, Tommy, he said, take care of the nickels and the dimes. The dollars will take care of themselves. And he said to me, he said, you know, because we've always been entrepreneurs, our family. And he said, you know, Tommy, he said, there's always a time with a business. And he said, you watch. He said, now he said, I'll long since be to heaven, but he said, you watch this come to pass. He said, companies don't know when to stop trying to grow. There's a certain point that you get that you make money. And he said, then you decide you expand, and even though you've gotten bigger, you've hired more people, you're making less money. And he said, then you decide to really expand. You go get a bigger loan, and you go over this thing, and all of a sudden you're making a lot of money. You got a lot of people, and everything's going well as long as the contracts keep coming in. And then the contracts keep coming in. My grandfather prophesied to me, and maybe he knew it was, and maybe he didn't, but he said, you're going to see the day that when some of the biggest corporations in this world will fall to the ground because they did not know when to stop. And isn't that what's going on today with these corporations? They don't know when to stop. They just can't be satisfied with making enough money to pay bills, to raise families, to have a home to live in, to be comfortable. You know what it is? The love of money, the root of all evil. The love of it. Money's not evil. The love of it. See, that's the reason that we're coming to a time where we're coming quickly to the time of the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, where they brought their possessions and they laid them at the apostles' feet. And the apostles distributed as the needs were, that all things were common one to another. What are they talking about that? Nobody had anything. Whatever they had, they brought the apostles. The apostles saw to it. Now listen to me. This is the governments of God. That everybody had the same thing or no one had anything. Nobody had a better house. Nobody had a better donkey. Come on. Nobody had more food than the other one. All had the same. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that time. I'm not going to tell you how close we're to that. I think in times that have gone by, we have seen different sects during the generations that have tried to have communes and those kind of things that obviously didn't work. But we are going to come to a time when, bless God, if in fact we had followed the rule of God, if the church, and you know the church is always saying, we're just like the book of Acts. No, we're not. We don't even resemble that church in the book of Acts. Other than it's the same Lord Yeshua, Mashiach, that we, bless God, that we have received and we serve. Other than that, we don't resemble that at all. But if we had of, then we would have quickly understood in the church. Do you realize the church should have taken care of all the insurance business for Christians? Do you know that? Do you know that? The church should have done it. Your congregation in the church should have had enough funds, and the church should have been able to say, look, Mrs. Smith needs an operation. We prayed for her. Let's believe God that the surgeon's hands will be guided. Write the check. You know why the church didn't do that? Listen closely to me. We built our own mansions, our own castles, our own kingdoms. We'd have loved to have done that, but gee, Brother Deckard, we had to build a gymnasium out back for $2 million. So we could play basketball and have a family center. What about Mrs. Smith? Well, Mrs. Smith, you know, she's got to get an insurance or something. I don't know. What do we do about Mrs. Smith? I told somebody, I don't remember which one of you was, I told about the ministerial alliance in this town. And when I first came here, I was young and foolish, about 30 years old, and bless God, ready to take on the world, of course. And so I went to one ministerial meeting. They invited me because I was a new kid on the block, and I told them I wouldn't be back. I didn't want anything to do with it. A few weeks later, a lady came into a building we had over in a little old building on the other side of town, and she came in. She had two or three kids, and boy, she was beat up. She was black and blue. I mean, I said, "What in the world has happened to you?" She said, "Well, my husband got drunk and he beat me." I said, "Well, come in, darling. Sit down." Was getting ready to have church, and so she came in and she sat down, and so when service was over, she came to me and she said, "Brother Deckard," she said, "I hate to ask, but," she said, "do you think it'd be possible?" She said, I don't have any money." She said, "We don't have anywhere to sleep." She said, "Would it be possible that you'd have a fund that maybe would put us up for a night in a hotel so we can find some relative somewhere that would take us in?" I said, "Well, sure." I said, "That's not going to be a problem." I said, "We're going to take care of you and the kids." And so anyway, in this conversation, she said to me, she said, "You know, I went to the Ministerial Alliance." I said, "Oh, you did?" I said, "What did they tell you?" And she said, "Oh, they told me that they'd get back with me, that they had to, you know, they had to vote on it, and they just couldn't be handing out money because somebody had a need." Listen to me. The Sanhedrin had to meet. She said, "Last night, you know how we had money to eat?" Now listen to this, because it'll break your heart. She said, "I had to make myself go in a local club here in this town and tell the people inside, a bar, people drinking and getting drunk and dancing. And I asked those people there if anybody could help me and my children to have a place to stay." And she said, "They took up enough money for us to have," I said it was during the week, I think two or three or four nights in a hotel. The church wouldn't help her, but the world did. Yeah. Now, folks, that's as sad of an indictment against the church that it gets. And people wonder why. What do you talk about and against the church the way you do, Brother Deckard? I know what's going on. I'm not willing to stand back and act like everything's okay in Zion, because it's not okay in Zion. I've said for years, somebody needs to dig a hole, push the church off in it, and cover it up. That's where we're at in this thing. The church quit producing years and years ago. We're going through just what they did in Ezekiel's time. The glory of God has left the place and they don't even know it. They're still going through the same rigmarole that they always went through. Some of you have come to me and said, "Well, Brother Deckard, I don't even go to church anymore because of that." Good. I said, "Oh, my Lord, Brother Deckard, you won't get to heaven if you don't get to church." I'm going to tell you something. The kingdom of God is better to be right here. Okay? There's not going to be anything to get to heaven to start checking to see how many meetings you missed it in the church. Okay? There's only one book of life. All it's got in it, hopefully, is your name. Okay? And yours is in it. So is mine. Hallelujah. Well, we were headed over here toward 58 of Isaiah, and we're going to read down here. Well, this is some favorite scriptures of mine, have been for years, and the Lord God here in 58 chapter, the first verse says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now we've been studying some together, so you do realize that when He's talking about show my people, and then he says in the house of Jacob, he's talking about the Ephraim, the house of Ephraim, the house of Jacob. Okay, the northern kingdom. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Isn't that what we do today? People in this town, this area, all over this nation are getting coming into buildings and worshiping the Lord and holding their hands up. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? These are questions. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Question. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is this not it? It is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Now, see what he's saying? This isn't a religious thing. This is a real thing. You fast. We fast for our children overseas, the orphans. We fast for the ministry. We fast for the things that bless God, that we know that will further God's kingdom. Now, listen to the 8th verse. Then shall thy light. He said, if you're fasting for this thing, 6 and 7, all right. If you're fasting to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. That's what the fast is about. To deal the bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out to your house. Thou seest the naked, that you cover him. Now, and then 8 says, then. Now, after you have done this and done it properly, and here's the key to fasting. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. You want to know where your health lies? Come on, in fasting. In fasting. Now, I'm not sure the next time we get together we're not going to do the whole thing on miracles and fasting. I don't know yet. I'd have to see God. We have no idea that fasting brings health. But it tells us here, it'll come forth speedily. It says, and it comes forth, and health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. What is it? The glory of God will come and sit upon you if you fast and you fast correctly. If you do it in a religious way or in a way to invoke God into doing something you want Him to do, you're all wet behind the ears. It is not going to work. It didn't then. It won't now. So He's saying, if you do the things I'll do, if you'll do what 6 and 7, then He said, I'm going to tell you something. The light break forth as the morning. He said, it's just going to flood upon you. Your health's going to spring forth speedily. So you see, if you do it in a right way, what is going to turn out for you? You do it in a wrong way, you're just spinning your wheels, you're religious, and it's not going to work. Now, let me ask you something. Now, have you ever heard that minister to you? Have you ever heard that if you do fast properly, that, see, again, there's blessings and there are curses. You do it right, you're blessed. You do it wrong, what? You pour the curse out upon yourself. The knowledge is in the book. We're destroyed because of the lack thereof, right? That's what the Bible says. The knowledge is in the book. The key is who has enough revelation knowledge, spiritual knowledge and experience to be able to convey it by an anointing that it will come down and get into the hearts and the minds of the people. That is what revelation knowledge is. Revelation knowledge is not, bless God, from heaven. It comes from heaven, but I mean, it's not the Holy Ghost goosebumps running up down your spine, okay? It is from heaven. Now, let me make sure I get that straight. I'm going to hear somebody on radio say, well, this prophet Deckard said it don't come from heaven. No, erase that. It comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Then shall I call, and the Lord shall answer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the guidelines to fasting. I travel this world. Folks, I've been amongst preachers. I've been amongst as many as 600-700 preachers at a time. Done this and said, open up and stand up, anybody in this room that has ever understood the absolute fact behind fasting. Most of the time in the Pentecostal, the charismatic movement, we've been told fast and make God do what you want Him to do and He'll do it. Just because we fast, we're going to force him into doing it because we fast. I went without food, God. Now you owe this to me. God owes you nothing but love. As we owe no man anything to love. Amen. He says, "Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." You want to hear from God? Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, now listen, and putting forth the finger and spreading vanity. Stop it, God said. Quit pointing the finger. Quit judging. Just do what I tell you to do and leave it alone. This is a key to this thing, my brothers and sisters. He said, if thou wilt take away the midst of the yoke and putting forth the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou wilt draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness as the noonday. Now here in 11, you'll be able to shout, and the Lord shall guide thee how? Continually. Well, Brother Decker, just how long of a fast you got to go on for this to happen? Try 3 days. Try one meal. Try. Just a little bit. You know, just get started into it, folks. We come together in next quarter. You're going to hear this prophet saying, unless you cannot physically fast, and if you have diabetes, and if you have something going on in your body that God's not set you free from yet, then don't you dare enter into these fasts. You fast a meal. Because I'm going to call a 3-day fast. I don't think, anything unbearable. You'll make it. Just about time you get here, we have service, your face is screaming, you got the headaches and everything's carrying on and anointing sets you free, you'll be okay. We'll have food out here in the sanctuary. I mean, in the middle room again. And you can eat. Your flesh will be going, thank you, thank you, and thank you. And we, in the meantime, will have come in and brought the glory of God down in this room. Okay? Now, the keys, again, if you begin to understand doing it correctly, and it has to be done correctly. Again, he said he'll guide you continually and satisfy the soul in drought. You ever go through some drought places? We all do. We all do. And make fat thy bones. Notice it's the bones, it's not my belly. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. What's the old waste places? Come on, folks, so you understand this is end time stuff. The old waste places, what are they for us? Coming back to Torah, being Torah observant. Okay? And make and he says, and places, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. What are we doing? Come on. What is it that when the Lord God spoke of the law to Ephraim, Ephraim thought it to be a strange thing, didn't he? What are we doing? You are part of the remnant. We are part of the remnant. This is going on all over the face of this earth, by the way. Little groups of people like us. Just coming, those that heard God say, come out, Ephraim, come home, Ephraim, come home, Ephraim, come home, Ephraim. Prick their hearts. They don't even know, so maybe your case for sure, you're not even real sure why, but you're here. You know that you believe it. You know that you believed it just like you believed when you found out Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was the Lord. You know because you have ears to hear and you're hearing God say and you're coming along. So you see, it's all there. Now listen, he says, raise up many foundations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Come on. Come on. You're listening to a prophet this morning. We are the repairer of that breach that Solomon made when the kingdom was divided. You and I, this generation, are now the repairer of the breach. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's good. The restorer of the paths to dwell in. We're going to restore those paths, brothers and sisters. Now listen, if thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure of doing the pleasure of my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, if you'll do that, the holy and the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So in other words, and now listen, that doesn't read the way it's truly interpreted. If thou shalt turn away thy foot from the right, he said, in other words, that ought to be, you shouldn't, all right, turn your foot away from that. If you don't turn your way, if you don't go away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, don't do that, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, don't do any work, nor finding thine own pleasure, don't do it, nor speaking thine own words, the words of the Lord. 14, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I have ministered to you in time prophetic revelation that is now for us today. Been absolutely taught and preached for years, but without the revelation knowledge and of the timing that we're in. Somebody say you understood what I just told you by these scriptures. You see, the book is full of this stuff. You know, somebody said to me, well, they only have a few scriptures. I've got hundreds of scriptures. I've got hours and hours of explanation on tape. This isn't a drawing. It's not a contest. It's not a gimmick. It's not a let's have something new to do. This is divine appointment of God. You know that there are divine appointments. There's divine appointments of time in which God, and there's certain things that's going to happen, and you're just going to be there when it does take place. That's just all there is to it. We all cry out, God guide me, God lead me, God guide me, God lead me, and God guided you and led you here this weekend. Some of you may have not known it. Some of you may have thought you wouldn't come and end up coming. There are some that didn't come that should have came. But this is divine appointment. This isn't, I got lucky, there's a cute little meeting, and didn't we have fun. You have come to sit at the feet of a real prophet. And this real prophet has given to you this morning revelation knowledge that is going to change the way that the church that we know on this earth operates. We are about to walk in to a place where God wants us to be. Not a place where, bless God, that we have chosen. Do you think this is easy? Do you think this is easy for me? No, this isn't easy for me. This isn't any easier for me than it is for you. I get criticized. You get criticized. I get talked about. You get talked about. People throw spiritual rocks at you. They throw spiritual rocks at me. But you know what I heard the Lord God say? Rejoice! When they speak all manner of evil against you, rejoice. And know that they spoke against me first. You know something? We've just stepped up into the league with God. We've stepped right smack down. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's few times in our lifetimes that we walk on the face of this earth that we can absolutely know that we're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. And this is one of them. You are the beginning of the last and the greatest movement of God that will ever be on the face of this earth. And it started just like this. There's going to be days and times in the months that are coming that, bless God, that there won't be room that'll hold the people that's going to come to these kind of meetings. Why? People are tired of being lied to. People are tired of going to churches that nothing ever seems to happen besides gossip, biting, judging. And I'm going to tell you something. If we'll live with that right there, if you can get into that chapter and live that, it will change your life. Change it. So, well, now, Brother Decker, now let's talk for just a minute here. Tell me for sure now. You're saying then we need to fast. We are to fast because the Lord is no longer with us. We will fast. Okay, they fasted then. Okay, they were into fasting then. We are also into, if you will, into fasting as of now. And should have been all along. So what I would like to do is to have you to understand that you need to, if you've been away from fasting for a while, here's what I suggest. Don't jump into it. Anoint your head, wash your face, proclaim the fast during that way. And if you really haven't fasted much at all, try to fast a meal. Try to fast a meal, one meal, and 3 days try to fast another meal. One meal, breakfast, noon, dinner, whatever, just take a meal. then do that in that way a couple times a week, one meal a couple times a week, and then go into the third week and try to do two meals. Okay, now do you understand what I'm doing? I want you to work your way up into doing a whole day. And once you can find yourself where you can fast and find a time to pray, if you have a job, when you come home, either get up early before you go to work and pray, or when you come back home from work, find a time. A perfect time is to say, okay, the meal I'm going to fast is going to be the dinner meal. Then bless God, as I said, let everybody go to the table. You, if you're the woman, fix the food, get it out, and say, excuse me, I'm going to spend my time in the bedroom or wherever, and I'm going to pray. All right? And then work yourself up today. Then after you've got yourself a day, all right, and do it, and don't just do a day, and then next week say, well, I'm going to do 2 days. Now, if you feel like you can do that, that's fine. But the best thing to do is to do a 1 day a week, okay? Do 1 day a week, and then after a week, turn back around and bless God, say, okay, I believe that I could do 2 days. Work yourself up to 3 days. Work yourself up to 3 days and 3 nights. Then, like I said, really, what you're doing then, you're really wrestling within that time that's the hardest frame of all of it, because I said 3 to 5 days. After the fifth day, your place is going to calm down, decide you're dying, and going to leave you alone. The sugar withdrawals are going to pretty well be over, or they should be over. And if they're not, bless God, rebuke them, and they will be over. Okay, see, that's the power of that prayer. That's the power of what we were talking about last night. Pray, believe, and receive. Stand on it, and tell the stinking devil to get out of your head in Yeshua's name. Then you work yourself up. And like I said, after you get yourself where you can do 3 days, then don't jump back in the next week and fast. Now, you can do what I said I did for years. You can get yourself into a pattern where you fast 1 day a week, and that's just what you're going to do. Fast 2 days, fast 3 days a week, whatever it is. I made my mind up that what I would do is I would fast 3 days a week, and I'd make sure that I fasted more. In other words, I'd make sure I fasted at least 16 days every month. But I didn't do it all, obviously, at one time like that. I broke it up and did it in that way. Then I got to the place where I bless God, would find places. And I found that I could go 7 days and work. Folks, I was a boilermaker, and I was a welder. And I'd be inside welding those tubes. And it's hot. It's real hot when that stuff goes on. I would fast 7 days, nothing but water, and weld all day long in my welding game. So those things can be done. I know they can be because I've done them, all right? And so then like I said, I wouldn't suggest, bless God, getting yourself in a pattern of every time you want to fast, making it a 21-day fast and all that. Don't do that. Yeah, that really needs to be worked up to. 7 days, anybody can survive 7 days. Everybody can survive 3 days. That, even though, as I said, you're kind of beating yourself over the head, because if you get three, you really got the thing beat. A couple more and you're on the road. Okay, now, let's say you get to the place. Now, if you're going, even with 3 days, you shouldn't just jump out and go eat some McDonald's hamburgers after it's over when you break that fast. The way you should do it is eat some, like, chicken and noodle soup, something light. Don't be taking in a lot of bread and stuff to break a fast, especially a long fast. When you start talking about fasting 21 days, 7 days, I never worry about breaking a 7-day fast. But I've been doing this for 30 years, so you know, that's not a problem for me, all right? But now, if you're not real careful, you get yourself into having some problems. And you can, do it real quick. You can mess your colon up, and then you're going to have to be up front and be coming driving to me trying to find prayer, okay? So do it right. Break the fast. Now, okay, let's say I'm at a place now. I'm going to do, let's just say 10 days, okay? I break the fast. I start out by getting out a can of Campbell's chicken and noodle soup, okay? You eat the chicken and noodle soup, and bless God, and that's in the morning. And let's say you have at noon, you have yourself, bless God, some other kind of light soup or light something or other. Have a little bit of salad, not a whole lot. Then for dinner, because you're now expanding your colon back, then bless God, then maybe you can eat something light, a little heavier. But I wouldn't just, bless God, sit down and have a chicken dinner, okay? Because those kind of things are going to cause you to have a problem. You have to gently come back out. You got to remember something. Your body, for all natural purposes, your colon has absolutely decreased, and you're going to have to now. Your stomach's not used to having anything in it, and so you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to take it easy. Do not go drink a bunch of milk. Okay, don't have a milkshake. it will curd in your stomach and you will have a problem. Okay? So be very, very careful about doing that. Okay? I got some funny stories to tell about all. I'm just telling you things I've experienced here, by the way. This is something I've been through. Yes? Yeah, that's fine. Crackers is great. I didn't even think about crackers. That's good. Yeah. Did you hear what he said? Yeah. Do what? Eggs. Yeah. That's good. What is it?
Like rice porridge.
Rice porridge. Yeah, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. That's good. You're right. Yeah, a lot of this stuff, you know, I don't think much about it because I just jump. You know, like I said, I've done it so many years. Anybody else got any questions? Yes. Yeah. Now, that, you know, that's not a bad rule of thumb, except let me tell you something, sister. After you've been on a fast 40 days and 40 nights, I'm not going to do that for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm trying to be nice about that. That's a cute little story from somebody that doesn't know squat about fasting, okay? And again, the problem, at the good side, you've got somebody here that understands it. I understand what it's like to just absolutely walk right in close to death itself through this thing. And I know what it is. I'm telling you, I know how to break them. I know when to break them. And I can tell you, bless God, that if you get sick during that fast, you get off of it. And you do it very, very quickly. Because the fact of it is, if it's God, once you fight the flesh. See, you got to fight the flesh. That's part of this battle. Your flesh is the problem, okay? You get past it. So just remember, if you get into fasting, you start getting sick, break the fast. Don't think, oh, well, devil. You break that fast. Why? You can always go back. I've had people say, well, I mean, I went 20 days, and I should have made one more day. What do I do now? Anoint your head, wash your face, go to fasting again. It's just that simple. Don't give up. Know that God loves you. Know that, bless God, He is teaching you something. And what I would do, if I were you, I would take the Scripture, this 58th chapter, this whole chapter, 1 through 14, and I would put a marker in it, and I believe I would be reading it often. It won't hurt you to read that set of Scriptures at least once a week. You'd be probably wise enough in the beginning to read it once a day for a week or so. To get that down in you so you begin to understand. Again, can I say this? Understand the rules. God has put some rules here, and if you'll follow these rules, it'll be okay. If you don't follow these rules, you know, just make up some weird thing of what it did for you and let it go with that, all right? But if you want the success that this talks about, that the key, though, is it is a commandment to the end time ministry, people, okay? Because, like I said, we are the repairer of that breach. We're the ones that's going to make the paths. We're it. You know what those paths are? Us leading and guiding people back up that holy hill to the Lord God. That will keep the commandments. We'll keep Shabbat. We'll keep New Moon. We are that generation that this old prophet prophesied about. And now it's our turn, and we have the opportunity to do what? We have the opportunity to get it right or mess it up. Now, the neat thing about this, as I said, this kind of thing is beginning to go on all over the world. And I think this is what is really, 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 really super about it, is this isn't just a little old group here in the Midwest that some of you had to come in here from quite a ways to get a hold of. Yeah, it's going to be hard to find for a while, but it will spread and it will grow. And as I said, God has set me, and I'm going to smile a lot better tomorrow morning over when he told me he was going to use me to spearhead this thing through this country. I wasn't smiling. In fact, I said, boy, Lord, I'd rather not as usual. See, with God, it, we always say, you have a choice. No, you don't. No, I'm sorry. We really don't have choices, do we? Oh, yeah, choose life or choose death. But then he says, if I were you, I'd choose life for both you and your seed. Huh? He gave us a choice and told us what to choose, didn't he? But let me tell you something. I'll smile tomorrow because I'm going to tell you something. I've had a weekend with you, and I now, supernaturally, I understand what's about to happen. I didn't. I just, I'm just being obedient to God. Just doing. God said to have this. I had it. I'm saying, well, what good is that going to do? What are we going to do? God said, just do it.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material, because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer requests to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
Adon Olam Asher Malach V'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra Et Nasa B'chefzo Kol Azai Melech Shemo Nikrach